Our reflections for this conference will be on the priest and Mary. We begin with an introduction. There is one fundamental reason why a priest should be specially devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary. He is ordained to bring the living Christ on earth in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, to make the living Christ available to the faithful in Holy Communion, and to keep the living Christ on earth in the Blessed Sacrament. His own way, therefore, a priest continues the miracle of the Incarnation that Mary first made possible at Nazareth and at Bethlehem. If our Saint Augustine so beautifully expresses it, Caro Jesu, Caro Mariae, the flesh of Jesus is the flesh of Mary. Then the priest, who has the power of consecrating the body and blood of Christ, should be most devoted, out of his love of Christ, to the Mother, who brought Jesus into the world, and therefore made the Eucharist a living reality. First, subdivision. Grace builds on nature. Have we looked more closely into this mystery of our faith? What we should express to be specially devoted, but almost say attached to the Mother of Christ. Father Gerald says, a man is always a child to his own mother. Father Gerald observed, always a little one, always in need of his mother. And the need is commonly reciprocated. Mothers never forget that their sons or daughters somehow depend on them, and the children, if they are normal, all retain a wholesome sense of the need of mother's solicitude for them. Father Gerald recalled what followed in the wake of the last war. The army chaplains found that more often than not, when a soldier was going to die, not even his own wife would ask for, would always revert to his childhood, would want his mother to be with him when he died. There's a deep-grained relationship in our hearts with the mothers who are the founders, sources of our nature. And there is a greater sense of gratitude to the woman who gave him birth, the deeper, more lasting his affection for her. Time has nothing to do with it. Well, last, we believe all through our time here on earth and even into the endless centuries of eternity. Then Father Joel asks, how deep is the sense of gratitude for the mother and brought us into the world. It is deeper, more lasting, depending on his affection for her. In spite of the passage of time, or even in spite of the entrance into his life, many other persons may claim a right to his affection and his love. As Father Gerald explains, grace builds on nature. This further refines it, and a priest whose vocation calls for a life of celibacy. Then if a man is honestly conscious within himself of past and grave infidelities, is all the more reason, based on faith, to rely on Our Lady as Mother in the Spirit. There's a time we can say that a man can so offend that everyone but his mother can desert him. I've seen this. Condemned criminals, the wife and the family would disown him, but not the mother. Why these insights apply to every priest, they are especially pertinent to those whose peace life has been shoddy, and since their ordination have strayed with practice of even the most elementary virtues of Christianity. Men like this desperately need to know that how far they have wandered from God. The Mother of God still cares for them. It's a strange statement. And how deep we may have offended God, Mother of God, as the Church's history teaches us, never loses her affection for us. Faith tells that a person in mortal sin, supernaturally dead, and I'm quoting Father Gerald, that person is a priest, may be compared to the dead Christ. Then Father Gerald adds, how tenderly the Mother of God bends over the souls of Christians or in mortal sin. How steadily upon those lifeless bodies, those cold bodies, fall her tears. She to wash them, and warmly and tightly she holds their bodies, she to warm it again into life. If the prophets of old symbolize God's love for them in spite of their deep offensive crimes against the Almighty. So our Blessed Mother, the Mother of all mothers, bends over the souls in the Church that are the living image of our dead Son. She works and labors and prays unceasingly. May with the Divine Son on seeing representation before the throne of God, the firstborn Son might not have died in vain for these other Christs. Over the years of my priesthood, I've dealt with many wayward priests. I cannot tell you how also important, but how indispensable, the life of every priest is a deep, strong, abiding love of Mary. This is especially true when the priest had become estranged from God. Faith in and devotion to Our Lady, I repeat, is the one deepest hope of priests who are living in sin. Let me go on. Father Jill now speaks of the Marian life. What Father Jill recommended to priests was more than ordinary devotion to Our Lady. He did not hesitate to tell them, I quote, "We must live our whole life with our Blessed Mother, without tiring, without any weakening of our resolution. Specifically, we must be content to stand and to labor, to weep and to pray, immolate with Mary at the foot of the cross." We ask why. Why should a priest's devotion to our sorrowful mother more immediately unroll as a Stabat Mater under the cross? Because his role as priest has many to continue Christ's mission, reconciling sinners with an offended God. And Mary shared in that mission in a unique way as no other human being has ever shared. It can be said with security that God gives his mother a particular way to his priests. While the beloved disciple beneath the cross represented all believers, Saint John was especially the representative of the priesthood. We received from Our Lady a formal statement, sublime gift of the Mother of God to be his mother. Mother Jill continues, in the Garden of Paradise, God said to Satan, "I'll put enmity between you and the woman." Here was a woman at the foot of the cross, the same enmity that God has placed between the Mother Immaculate and Satan. As symbolic term for that invasion between God's will and our own. And we pray, we beg God to place in our hearts, we are the servants of Immaculate Spouse and in thee very sons. The devil, I keep repeating, has been more active in this century than any other 100-year period of Christian history. Not only has he been more active can be more demonically effective. More priests have been seduced from their priesthood. In this century, I repeat, all the centuries of history before. I have to keep coming back to this. And somewhere near the center, that massive seduction of priests, loss not just of all parishes, the loss of entire dioceses to the Catholic Church. Hear it. Be tired of my repeating it. It is mainly due to seductive women. God made women attractive. God made women, if they are agents of the evil spirit, seductive. Over the 50 years of my priesthood, I cannot tell you how many priests I've warned, in God's name, watch yourself. This woman who you think piously giving consolation, comfort, and direction to, you don't know it, but she knows it. She wants not your spiritual counsel. She wants you. Unless you are extraordinarily careful, you'll be another victim. That woman's, what shall I call it, crusade against priests. If priests are par excellence Mary's sons in the Spirit, it's only to be expected they should act accordingly. But saying this is only the beginning, you will take what I am saying, I've shared by now with hundreds of priests. Take constant effort on the part of the priest. Constantly watch over and be careful. Be extremely careful about the women whom we may say God puts into their lives, to help the women and to be protected from their inevitable, I repeat, natural seductiveness. Hence the following petition to Mary's son, my father Gerald. A little long, but it's worth quoting. Oh Jesus, give us the deep and perfect faith that makes a priest live under the bright burden of Our Lady's eyes, under the warm radiance of her, your most beautiful face, most loving heart. Make us glad with the gladsomeness of faith, but like Peter and John, and found worthy to suffer something for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Jesus, make us rejoice in thy heart, which rejoices and rejoice every hour given to thee by the Blessed Mother. May it resolve that our whole life will be Marian, as Mary was with thy life from its first beginning on earth to the dawn of eternity. We beg you, dear Lord, for a Marian existence under the shadows of thy mother's immaculate heart. You began your life on earth with thy mother at thy side. Thou art living in eternity. The eyes of thy blessed mother are upon thee and upon us. O Jesus, grant us the graces so to live day by day. We may not be afraid to lift our eyes in life or in death to meet the face of thy mother. Do we not know that by faith, if we shall see our blessed mother smiling on us when we die, that one smile, lifetime of renunciation, of self-conquest, of self-discipline, will seem as a great nothingness, a great brevity, the beginning of eternity. What do we want to see? The smile of Mary on the soul of a priest at the angel of death presents it at the judgment of God. A concluding exhortation to priests, reminding them that someone has tried to inspire men with the saying, "The eyes of the world are upon you." How much more inspire you to be told, "The eyes of the Mother of God are upon us. We must not fail her. We will not fail her tomorrow. As we fail her today, now fail her today." Remember that the sweetest privilege of a priest is to be worthy of the love of Jesus Christ and the smile of the eyes of Mary. Those who have lived under this inspiration know how effective it is maintaining one's priestly integrity, bringing the souls of Christ back to Christ, and those who have strayed farthest from the Christian faith. I can say this, having dealt with thousands of priests over the years. There is a direct, I would say, mathematical proportion between a priest's love of Christ, fidelity to his priestly duties, and his love, deep love, of the Mother of God. Now we will shift gears. I say this with deep conviction. I have said this on more than one occasion. The deepest need that a man has is to be loved. The deepest need that a woman has is to love. Here would I begin to explain the widespread plague of the loss of women's love in the modern world. Love for others instead of loving themselves. As I've said so often, I began reading Karl Marx at the age of 14. I have taught graduate courses in Marxism. This past spring, give a lecture at Carmen Zandi Foundation in Chicago. I spoke for 1 hour. Carmen of Chicago was a table. Listen to me. What I said, the United States is the most powerful Marxist nation in the world. In the heart of Marxism, we just killed, I repeat, killed tens of millions of persons. In the heart of Marxism, in what Kaczynski called feminism. And the heart of feminism is the belief that women are to recover what men have stolen from them. The claim that the family came into existence with men wanting to dominate women. And this demonic idea has developed into a demonic invasion of the rights of men in the modern world. The next issue of the Catholic Faith magazine, you'll have a long article by a philosopher, a good Catholic, that head of philosophy department, university where he teaches. The title of the article is The Fatherless Family. Under the aegis of Marxism, women, shall I say, have acquired such control of human society, including men, that this is the mind of the Holy Father, as radical feminism is checked. I fear for the survival of the Catholic Church in whole countries. I knew too many seminarians. I knew too many young men who should be priests. But they know what's going on. Why should I go on for the priesthood when I see women take control of the church? There are bishops, one I know, publicly, at length, promote not just the ordination of women, telling women to not submit to authority of men. That one man whom we call the Vicar of Christ. All of this is locked up in what we're saying. Back to you, handmaids of the precious blood. I don't believe I've ever put this so bluntly. I think I should do it now. You handmaids, better understand. I mean really understand what's going on in the Catholic Church. Women with the power and the authority, first of all, of the state behind them, Now, sadly, with the authority of many of their bishops, are taking a toll of the church, telling priests they have no business being in charge of the church. How we have to, I repeat, know what's going on and when I see you handmaids faithful to Christ's teaching, your devotion to Our Lady, where she recognized only the Mother of God could possibly recognize the authority of a divine Son over her. In the Last Supper, there was one woman, if Christ wanted to, should have ordained. Mary had no illusions. She knew what is God's will, not only for the priesthood, not only for the Catholic Church, but for human society. I've said this before. Pope John Paul II believes feminism is the single greatest threat to the future of the Catholic Church. My prayer and my plea with the Lord that you women give me the core of your being. Understand why Jesus chose to ordain only men and gave these men the authority over the whole church. Impossible for me to exaggerate the importance of your clearly and deeply understanding this, I call it, article of the Catholic faith. Infallible teaching, in spite of what so many women are publicly saying, writing books on, sadly, even bishops promoting their cause, is God's will that men, masculine gender, have, first of all, the priesthood and episcopate, and secondly, have the authority in the Catholic Church. Let me tell you, it's not easy to maintain these principles of our faith. Not today. Never yet. My 10 years of teaching a seminary in Chicago. The Jesuit superiors stupidly appoint a woman to be in charge of the course of studies for those studying for the priesthood. One candidate to the priesthood after the other. And report to her for approval, hear it, for ordination. Thank God we closed the seminary. What I'm dealing with here is repeat Holy Father's own concern, single deepest concern of the Vicar of Christ over the future of the Catholic Church. This is the main reason why so many women's communities in the Catholic Church in the United States have not just weakened, even disintegrated, but have disappeared. It is up to you, women religious, to remain firm to Christ's teaching. Whatever you can do, first of all, by your lives of prayer and sacrifice, but in many other ways too, whatever you can do to preserve Christ's infallible teaching. Only men are to be priests. Only men are to be bishops. Only men have the divine right to exercise a priestly and episcopal authority in the church founded by Christ. I say this with deep conviction. In today's world, men are no match for the tremendous power wielded by women. Hear it. The annual average in the United States is over 50% of marriages break down in divorce. And hear it. Most of those divorces are initiated by, voted by, and protected by the law through women. I never forget, me that I had, the mother of 6 children. Husband was there. She was getting rid of her husband. And, if you please, a pious-looking woman not only did she get rid of her husband, but she got a court order forbidding husband ever to even make contact with her on a penalty of being arrested. Every once in a while he calls me up, pours out his heart. A retreat that I gave recently in Chicago. What a phrase. A martyr of women's cruelty in the modern world. How we need, how you women need to realize there is a woman after Jesus Christ is the most powerful, most influential woman in human history. Her name is Mary. Homosexuality has become a national plague. I've said this, keep repeating it for years to come. Homosexuality is a result of feminism. Do you hear me? what the world needs, what men need. In every state of life is a selfless, loving, generous love of women. And the measure in which you women give your love, that measure only for not only the church, followed by Christ, even society, I don't say thrive, but even survive. And the secret is see God's will behind it. God wants love to be manifested as nothing else in the world. President Holy Father published not a few statements on women. I know of none more powerful than his document on the dignity and loyalty of women. Do not hesitate saying, the future of the Catholic Church is the hands of women. Even at the origins of the Catholic Church were the hands of a woman. Mary, as she had agreed to the will of God, become the mother of the Most High, who would not have Christianity, would not have the sacraments, would not have the priesthood. And I say, would not have a saint society. Lord Jesus, I beg you, enlighten especially women religious, and most especially the handmaids of the precious blood, discover their deep God-given privilege of imitating Our Lady by showing their own deep love for everyone whom you, dear Lord, has chosen to be an authority in your church. Put away instantly as a demonic temptation which the devil seduced Eve, convinced her God was jealous of his powers, and his wife forbade you to eat of the forbidden tree. Dear Lord, give to women, especially consecrated women, most especially the handmaids of the precious blood, something of the deep insight that you had and your mother had of the role of women, not just in the progress, but even the survival of the Catholic Church, because on their being like your mother, future, not only the priesthood, not only the Catholic Church, we dare say the hope of human society depends. Mary, Mother of God, Mother of priests, pray for women that, like you, they follow the example of never being jealous, never being envious of the role of men in the church of your Son. Obtain for women, we beg you, dear Mother, that love of Jesus, which sees the role of men as those having authority in your church and so far resenting, being unhappy, rejoicing that given to priests and to men the authority which your church so desperately needs. At the same time, dear Mother, obtain a deep, selfless love in women, especially religious women, for the men whom you have chosen to be your bishops, priests, and the head and vicar of Christ. Mary, Mother of the Church, Mother of priests, we beg you, pray for us. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.